You ever wish that you could look at life from a higher vantage point than what you normally do? I mean, with all the stuff going on, with softball games and laundry and bills to be paid and groceries to be picked up and, of course, church to attend on Sunday, life is lived on street level all the time. Have you ever wished you could just elevate yourself up a little ways, maybe quite a ways, and see your life from a bigger frame of reference? Well, this morning I want to help us to do that. Physically, I can't take you there. But spiritually, we can go there. And we're going to do it together this morning. You know, we live here in the myriad of daily doings and talkings, of politicking and posturing, of figuring and of furrowing our brows, of trying to get through the stuff of life, the circumstances, with the best energy and know-how we have. But we need something more. When you talk with people in culture today, when you talk to people in your community, in your neighborhoods, on the street you live on, you see regularly that people are looking for something more, a higher perspective from which to look at their life. How about you? As that video clip continues to take us to a better vantage point, a bigger frame of reference, I want to take us there in our spiritual lives. And what I'm going to do is get us into the book of Ephesians today, the letter to the church of Ephesus, the city, major city that existed in Asia Minor, now modern-day Turkey, that existed around the time that Jesus was around, was a church that received a blessing, a letter that gave them that higher frame of reference, that better vantage point from which to look at life. I don't know if you have realized this, if you've ever read through the book of Ephesians, but it is written to a church not to address a specific problem. A lot of letters were written in the Bible to address issues in a church, but this letter was written to give that higher vantage point first. Then it goes into some practical street-level stuff, but it starts at the higher plane. And I wanted to get us to that plane this morning. If you could open your Bibles to page 1156. Page 1156 is where the book of Ephesians is found in the red Bibles under your chairs. Please keep it open as we look at the first chapter this morning, specifically verses 1 to 14. This text that gives us that higher elevation view of living as a Christian, as a person, and also as a church. That's why we started at the church and are going up into the satellite perspective. This is a letter written to the church in Ephesus, to the individuals and the community. And there's a very important message that we have to benefit from today. And it's an incredible message about God's redemptive, lavish, loving, elective, adoptive purposes for us. And I hope you capture the best frame of all as we hear this morning. Just listen to these words. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will to the praise of His glorious grace which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we also were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of His glory. Amen? Amen. This is so rich. This is so rich. As I look at a text like this, I think about a song that goes like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Some people say that Christians are so otherworldly that they are of little earthly use. And I want to say to you this morning, as we look at the book of Ephesians and apply it to our life, that it is not quite that way. The truth of the matter is that we are so otherworldly, we have our eyes so fixed on Christ and on the Father and on the Spirit, we have our eyes so fixed on Him that we are of immense earthly value and benefit. Because we can live on street level with a focus and attentiveness to the things of God that makes everything on this earth take a little different shape, have a little different perspective, a little different attitude. Street level living is the place where God has put us with a heavenly perspective. And it makes all the difference in the world, and it can in your life and through you in the life of people with whom you come in contact on a daily basis. Christianity is not a religion of escape. It's a religion of perspective as we live our lives on street level. And I pray this morning you get that perspective firmly embedded in your life today. Let's look at the text together. Verse 3. And the idea of verse 3 is simply the first thing in your outline. No matter your circumstance, you get a glimpse of God from the heights and you know that you are blessed. Paul doesn't know all the stuff going on in the lives of the Ephesians. He doesn't know what their work-a-day life is like. He doesn't know the details of their families or marital struggles. He doesn't know. He's got some broad ideas, but he doesn't know the details. What he does know this, you get a glimpse of God no matter what your circumstances, and you cannot but say, I am so blessed. Look at it, verse 3. Praise be, that's another way of saying blessed be, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Lavish, immense, expressed to you, expressed to the church. We are so blessed by the God of the universe. And the fact that we are makes all that we go through in life put in the right frame. Later on in the book of Ephesians, Paul's going to get down to street level. He's going to talk about divisions among races. He's going to talk about marital issues and conflicts. He's going to talk about spiritual warfare. Chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6. But chapter 1 gets the framework set up. You are so blessed by a God who, whatever your circumstances, knows what they are and pours out spiritual provision for every need you could ever have in life. This blessing comes from the Father, it comes from the Son, and it comes from the Spirit. Look at it with me. Father, first, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father who has blessed us. The Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Through His creating, His overseeing of everything that happens. It comes through the Son. You can see that as you track through the verses here. It references Christ in verse 3. Every blessing in Christ. And then He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world in verse 4. And then down in verse 7. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We'll talk about that several times today. In Christ, you are blessed through the forgiveness of your sins. In the Spirit, you are blessed. It's Trinitarian, this text is. Verse 13, You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. This morning, whatever has happened to you this week, get this in focus. The Holy Spirit is like the signature on the contract. He's like the deposit that guarantees the transaction will be fulfilled. Your life, your eternity is secure. Nothing can shake it. Because the Spirit of God has blessed you with His presence. The signature on the contract, the deposit, guaranteeing the transaction. And how do we respond to all of that? The fitting response, I think, is none other than what the tone of this text in Ephesians 1 is. It's a worship response. Praise be, Paul starts. Worship you, God. Bless you, God. Whatever the stuff of life with its busyness and stresses, its joys, its trials, blessed be you, God, because I have all the provision I need. I worship you. And my hope and prayer is that today, this week, this year, you grow in your capacity, your heart, your hunger to worship God because you get this satellite perspective on your life. This is how Paul starts. This is what Ephesians motivates us, inspires us to do. What are the things that have been provided that bless us so? Three things I'll hit on briefly this morning. First of all, grace. Grace. I hope you never get tired of hearing about this. Some of the kids who got these sheets and are filling them out, and I'm going to give you a freebie here this morning. One of them asks what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's as much freebie as you're going to get, kids. God's riches at Christ's expense is what grace is all about. Isn't it awesome? Here we've got it in verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You know what that is? It is an unbelievable, unimaginable acceptance of us where we are as you sit in the chair right now. It is a favorable disposition separated from our thoughts, our attitudes, or our recent activities, good, bad, or indifferent. It is an attitude of compassion and care and loving acceptance that is given to us. The blessing, this satellite perspective in the midst of our life, is that we are endued with grace. Receive that this morning. That's the blessing that is over all. It's unbelievable. When I think about my life, my sins, my wanderings, my driftings, my forgettings, God is gracious to me. Worship you, God. Worship you. Not only grace, but election. Ah, this is one we stumble over. Election is something we've evaluated, we've studied, we've meditated on, we've examined from all the angles, we've critiqued, we've criticized, but this is part of the cascading description of God and His attitude toward us. Election is not something to fear or to pull away from or to study with scholarly glasses. It's something to worship God for. Look at the verses, verse 4, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in sight. In love, verse 5, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. We get so hung up on, well, who does He choose? And how does He choose? And who gets excluded in the choosing? And what about those people who have never heard? And we get all these, and they're good questions to study, but begin here. In this cascading description of God and His grace to us, He says, you are a people who wander away from Me, and I come after you. I choose, I call, I draw you to Me, I initiate. Yes, you must respond. It's later on in the verses. It talks about believing in Him. But first, He called. If He didn't initiate, where would we be today? The longer I'm a Christian, the more I understand that my tendency, my propensity is anything but toward God. I go the other way. And God, great, I love the word adoption. God adopts us. You hear about people who go to China and adopt a child. Did that child choose the parent? The parent went and chose the person in destitute circumstances and said lovingly, I call you to be My child. I adopt you. And now you have the right, as though you had been born of us. You are the same. That's what the Father says of us. Worship God. Praise be for Your elective, adoptive purposes for us. And then there's redemption. Verse 7 again, in Him we have redemption through His blood. In the times that Paul wrote this, there were slaves of the Romans, and those slaves could be set free. How? Somebody would graciously come along and pay a ransom price, and that person would no longer be owned by that individual. They would have freedom. Because somebody paid the price. In Christ, we have been ransomed. We have been redeemed from the slavery to sin that we have been caught up in. Praise be to God. The satellite perspective of life is that we, though we get caught up in stuff we know is wrong, in attitudes and frames and selfishness and emotions that are unhealthy, but not just unhealthy, offensive to God. God says, I will redeem, I will ransom, I will set you free. And I pray this morning that something of that grabs a hold of you. You know what all of this means? This means that there is a titanic conflict on street level that's going on, whether you know it or not. A titanic conflict for your soul, where the devil tries to use all the stuff of his life to trip you, to sink you in a sinkhole that you can never get out of. And God says, no way, devil, and He pulls us out, and we are called to respond to that. But He is the author. He's the initiator. The stage of history is all about the authorship of God of everything that is. And listen, this earth is not on the trajectory where God gets absorbed into everything. Listen, because this is different from culture. God does not get absorbed into history. God stands above it, satellite perspective, and everything comes under submission to Him. And He graciously, lovingly, lavishly welcomes us into His presence. And I guess I just have to say this morning that if you hear all that and you're bored, then it has never taken root in your life. If you look at that and if something stirs in you of gratitude and of hunger to know more of it and to learn, then praise God, because that means the Spirit, you're listening to His voice and you're responding, whatever your life circumstance. Praise be to God, the author of all of this. And the fitting response for us to that not only is worship, but it's also humility. Before I am a responder, I am first a receiver. Before I am a leader, I am a servant. Before I am a corporate executive, before I am a popular peer group member, before I'm a good-looking guy or gal that gets everybody's attention, I am first of all a treasured child of God, whether I'm ugly or beautiful. God sees beauty in us because He made us. And the only appropriate response is one of humility and gratitude and worship. And what does this produce? All of this stuff produces, among other things, two things. One of them is purpose. A deep, abiding sense that my life on the street has value beyond just doing the chores around the house, beyond just commuting myself to work every day. My life has deep, abiding, meaningful, even, listen, world-impacting purpose. World-impacting purpose. And maybe God uses me to have that purpose in one or two or three or five or ten lives, but it is significant. Purpose is talked about here in verse 11. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. God has function and purpose for everything that happens. Listen, is everything that happens on this earth God's direct will? Does He want in the sense of His want? No, I wouldn't say so. There are many decisions that we make on this earth that God grieves and would rather we had chosen better and different. Many things that happen, but can they be incorporated into His broader purpose to accomplish His will? Absolutely. That's why Romans 8:28, that text some of us know well, says, in all things God works together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. In all things, doesn't mean all things are good. It means God uses all things for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Now that I would call the next to climactic part of this whole text. Now let me give you the climax. The climax is the glory of God. The absolute, unquestioned, doxological praise to the glory of God. Verse 12. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. This phrase, to the praise of His glory, is mentioned three times in Ephesians 1, verse 1 to 14. Let me run through them quickly. Verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us. Verse 12, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Verse 14, the Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. I've wrestled at times when people have said or implied that maybe God is selfish by making the climax His own glory. I frankly don't think that we know what we're talking about when we challenge that. How can we who live here on street level, you saw just this little clip from the church, you know, you could imagine your car in the parking lot, yourself in the pew or the chair inside that building. Now here we are at satellite perspective. And that's not even the beginning of the expanse of the universe. God made it all. Why shouldn't it be for His glory? Why should it be for our glory? You and I are one of 8 billion people on this planet in such a small earth, that's a part of this glorious universe. Why should it be about us? It's ridiculous. It's all for the glory of the author, the creator, and by the way, the lover of your soul. I love that phrase in verse 12 that simply says that we might be. Doesn't say even that we might do, though there's lots to do. We might simply be for the praise of His glory. And the fitting response to all that goes back to what we talked about last week, and that's first love. Sadly, the church of Ephesus and so many churches from then got all caught up in the doing and the importance of their doing, of, you know, even the fighting of bad teaching and immorality and all that stuff. They got caught up in the doing and they lost the beginning that Ephesians starts with, the lavish love, the grace of God. And they became graceless and loveless. The fitting response is love. As we try to apply this, we've been talking in our church for years about next steps in spiritual development, and so we've used this baseball diamond, and let's show it one more time here if it's there. That beautiful diamond that reflects for us growth in spiritual development, right? You get involved in different, in discovery class and membership level and small groups of the maturity and ministry and all of that. It's been a valuable and helpful tool for us. The problem is it's too easy to say, what am I doing? If I'm doing, then I'm glorifying God. If I'm busy, if I'm active. But that's not where it starts. That's not where Ephesians starts. That's not where our life is supposed to start. So we're changing the image, we're changing the idea, the concept. Let's get rid of this. Let's see if we can do that here. Is there a way to do it? Oh, there we go. Look at that. We're nuking the diamond and replacing it with a new concept to help us think. It's not complicated. It's, It's the idea that I am at one place in my life pretty passive, pretty curious, and receiving, understanding who God is in my life. And then I begin to respond. I engage by believing and trusting and learning. And then if I deepen further, I come to church and I hear messages like the one today, and I get hungry to grow to the next level. Never satisfied. I pursue my Lord. And so that's the image. You'll see a banner out in the fellowship area that's got it. Satellite perspective. That's what this is about. Living on street level, but it's not about what I do. It's about who I am in Christ, what God has done for me. As we wrap up and go into communion this morning, I just want to say this. My prayer is that you know this morning that you are blessed and that you pursue the blesser. That you are blessed and you pursue the blesser. Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 19 goes on. That's the next verses. I won't read it all. Just make two quick comments. First of all, Paul goes on to say, I pray that over time you get to know Him better and that you know the hope to which He has called you. That you know Him better and know the hope to which He has called you. You see, when the day is done, when all of your activities cease, as a person who's coming to know who Christ is, you can be just like everybody else and say, this is what my life is about, the stuff of this day. Or you can say, my life is about something more and bigger that gives perspective to all of this. The truth of the matter is that the stuff of this world is fading away continually. Let's take a look quickly at two pictures. There's the picture of the Temple of Artemis that was in Ephesus. That was a monument, enormous monument, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world to the great goddess, the mother creator goddess that they claimed. That temple looks like this today. That's all that remains. The truth is that someday your house will look like that. Someday your company will look like that. Someday this church, individual church, will look like that. You know what's going to remain? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, who oversees the universe and who continues on, who stands and who calls us into an eternal relationship with Him. The question is, will you and I live for this stuff? Or will you and I live in and among the stuff of this world with Him as our focus? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can be here this morning to learn the satellite perspective of what life is about, what really matters. God, help us to leave here with a deep sense of how blessed we are and to leave here with a deeper commitment to live out of that, to pursue you, the blesser, and to keep the frame of reference that makes a difference as we live on the streets. God, we can't escape, and you don't call us to. But we can return to our daily activities with a fresh perspective. Help us to do that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, Amen.